who think of a country or a place in this world that you would never want to move to permanently? I can think of a few too, but just pick one, pick your top one. Could you make sure you're really engaging with this? And to make sure, could you just mumble the place you have chosen? It doesn't matter if those around you hear it, just mumble it so that you can hear what you've chosen. Otherwise, you might disengage and wait for other people to do the thinking. Okay, I can hear the whispers. That's good. Now, that goes to my second question. Why do you not want to move to that place? See, that second question would take more time to process, wouldn't it? That's why I'm not going to put you on the spot. What I'm going to do is to suggest what all of us may end up putting on our list of reasons why we won't want to move permanently to that place or that country. We don't want to be part of that nation. Our lists will probably have things like, it's very unsafe there. I think that might top the list. Life is very uncertain in that place. That means 1 + 1 is not always 2 in that place. You do everything right, you can still be in trouble. And that could be because the leaders in that nation over years have been really bad, self-centered, corrupt, probably very fanatical about things that concern them or what they believe. And so they limit people's personal freedoms, where you have governments even persecuting their own people. In fact, they may be lawless, and there's an increase in lawlessness in the whole nation. There is injustice, unfairness, inequity. Even if the nation has a lot of resources, it's not properly distributed so everybody can benefit. And then you think, okay, what about those who are supposed to maintain law and order? What do we discover? That those ones are just as lawless as the people that they're supposed to be telling what to do. Can you think of nations like that? Well, I have news for you. Every nation of the world is actually like that. It's just that they are at different stages in sliding into lawlessness. Life is very unpredictable, isn't it? And people in places that are far gone, down the road of lawlessness, live with constant, severe stress and anxiety because nothing is certain. They're certainly not safe, not even in their own homes. Do you know what we've just done? I can see people nodding, so you agree with me. Do you know what we've just described? We've just described the kingdom of this world. And some people think their nation is a kind of mini kingdom of God. There is no nation like that in this world. We know that there's trouble everywhere. Just listen to the news. Listen to the kind of crimes committed in every place. That is the kingdom of this world. And every human is born into this kingdom. Every human is born into the kingdom of this world. And that's a reality we must face. But that's not the only problem. The reason why people, why the kingdom of this world is the way it is, at the core of it is rebellion against God. People think they know better than the Creator what is right and wrong, what they choose to do or not do. And that's why there is so much trouble. But the other complication is that there are evil spiritual beings from another realm who are also in rebellion against God. And they are completely focused on making sure that humans do not turn to God by whatever means possible. And they are active in every nation of the world, in all institutions, in all cultures, in all traditions. These spiritual beings are influencing people to turn away or stay away from God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, describes these beings in the Bible as rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world and spiritual forces of evil. Their leader, the adversary, the deceiver that deceived Adam and Eve and started all this trouble. Satan, the devil, is their leader. He is described also as the God, small g, of this world. That is why the kingdom of this world is also known as the kingdom of darkness. You can stop looking so miserable now, because it's not all bad news. See, God didn't give up on his original plan, which is to have a human family that will be with him forever. In his beautiful creation, having peace and prosperity and all the things that we long for deep within us, that is God's plan. And he has not given up on it. We can thank God for that. And so Jesus, 100% God, took on 100% humanity to enter this dark world as light. Which means he lived perfectly as a man, as God intends for every human to live. He was completely submitted to doing the will of God. And he did it perfectly. He did it as a man. And then he submitted to God to the point of dying a gruesome death, taking on the sin of all humanity, so that those who put their trust in him will escape from this dark world. That is the best news ever for anybody to hear. So God is calling people everywhere to repent. That means to recognize what I've just told you. Some people think they are in the light, but they've not faced the reality that I'm telling you now. So they have not properly repented. People have to face the fact of their own evil and sin. It's not about I'm relatively better than other people. No, everybody is a rebel until they repent. So God is calling people to repent and to resolve, therefore, to not live like that anymore. Some people say they repent, but they keep living like people who are still in darkness. No, part of repentance is the resolve to now draw on the grace of God and all that he has provided to do the will of God. And people who are like that are properly born anew. Remember, everybody is born into the kingdom of darkness. People who do that are properly, note the word properly, because some people think they are born into the kingdom of God, but they have not been born properly. And that's why they can't really experience victory in their lives. So these people are born properly into the kingdom of God. They are born into the kingdom of God, which is also the kingdom of light and also called the kingdom of heaven. This is so important for all humans to really understand, because so many people are taught things that don't explain this properly. And some people think they are in the kingdom of light. And they think they have light because of false teachers, false Christian leaders that are bound in this world. Just like the Bible warned us. These people are building many kingdoms for themselves. They're just using religious activities and religious words to entrap people so they can build their own kingdoms. Stay away from them. That's what the Bible warns. Because they're not going to defend you on Judgment Day. They'll be defending themselves. So we need to be properly born into the kingdom of light. And those people that are so born into the kingdom of light properly, they too, like their Lord Jesus, become the light in the world. They are called children of God. They are overcomers. They are declared righteous, not because they are now perfect. Because if I said to anybody, who is a perfect person here? I hope nobody will put their hands up. Because nobody will be until we see Jesus. But isn't it great news that when you are properly born into the kingdom of God, you become righteous? Wow, what a gift. It doesn't mean we wallow in sin, but it means that we're in. And now, because we love God, we want to do His will. We repent of our sins seriously when we make mistakes. And we draw on all that God has provided for us, not to keep going back and doing the same thing over and over and over again. Because that means we haven't truly understood what repentance is. So we resolve every day to live according to the will of God. Because we're declared righteous, we want to act righteously. So such people become disciples of Jesus. Disciples of Jesus, you know what characterizes them? True repentance. Every day. It's not a one-off thing. They continue to be contrite in heart because they know they are not perfect. If you're perfect, then stop repenting. But they're contrite in heart. Jesus said every day they deny themselves. You see, some people, when they say they repent, they're still their own God. How do you know? They're still making their decisions with no reference to God. And if they're stuck on an idea, this is what I want to do, and you prove to them, according to the word of God, that that is wrong, they keep doing it. So who is God? They are their own gods. They're not disciples of Jesus. They are their own gods. They just think, I will make a little bit of room for God, so I will use God to do my own thing. When people pray sometimes, they take scripture and twist it, or take parts of scripture without taking it in its context. And they've been taught to do that. And they use it like a mantra, like magic. And they say it's faith. Well, note that that is fake faith. It isn't faith at all. And such people may think that the light they have is the light of God. Well, the light they think they have, Jesus said, is actually darkness. And because they think they know, the darkness is very deep because they don't even know they have a problem. In fact, they think they're better than everybody around them. That is their problem. And there are many people in churches who think that that's what they're like. But if people are properly born into this kingdom, they become more and more like their Lord because they live and think in a different way increasingly. They will be the light of the world, like Jesus. So what are we really saying here? What we're saying is that in this world as it is, there are two kingdoms coexisting. There are two kingdoms in this world in its current form. And these two kingdoms have eternal dimensions. You have the kingdom of darkness and you have the kingdom of light. Just think about that. That everybody you know, including yourself, belongs to one kingdom or the other. No in-betweens. Just think about that. So the critical question for every human becomes, which kingdom do I belong to? It is a very important question to get people to answer. If you're telling people about Jesus, get them to think about that, about the two kingdoms. Which one do you belong to? Which one do you want to belong to? That answer, the question, is very important because there will come a time when the two kingdoms will be separated on Judgment Day. And all those who remain in the kingdom of darkness will be confined to the lake of fire, along with all of those terrible evil spirits. It's a terrible reality. That's why we need to pray for people and talk to people and obey Jesus. If we're safe in the kingdom, let's not be selfish. Let's make it a point of duty to be witnesses and to make disciples for Jesus. That's how we demonstrate our love for people. Because the terrible reality is eternal separation from everything that is good. But those who are properly born into the kingdom of light, wow, they're going to be eternally safe and secure in God's new creation, new earth and new heavens, the home of righteousness, where only the will of God is done. So there'll be peace, there'll be prosperity, there'll be all the things that our souls are constantly longing for. I think it's a no-brainer for anybody who really understands the gospel, for people to make the right choice. But we may be thinking, we're sitting here, we're okay. Well, remember what Jesus said. That not all those who call him Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but who? The ones that demonstrate that they really truly believe in God and trust in God by doing the will of God. He said there'll be many people, and this will be the types of people who think they have light or they're in the kingdom of light. He said many people will come on that day. He warned us clearly in his Sermon on the Mount. So we better pay attention. Because Jesus doesn't mess about with words. He means what he says. So he said, these people will come and say, we did that, we performed miracles, we cast out demons, we prophesied. And he'll say, away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. They were not in a proper relationship with him. And that's what's going to happen to them. Can you see how critical it is that we should do what Paul said? Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, a church like ours, full of spiritual gifts and all that. Paul wrote to them and said, examine yourselves. Whether you are in the faith, test yourselves. That's what we must do this week. We need to focus our minds. So I will rephrase that question and say, what kind of evidence shows that someone really belongs to the kingdom of God? See, because we might be saying it, we might even be acting it. We know how to sing, raise our hands, say the right words. But do we want to fall into that category that Jesus warned about? So the best thing is today, this week, to test ourselves, each one of us, including me. What is the evidence that we're showing that proves that we really belong to the kingdom of God? Because when you test something, those of you who teach here, or those who have been tested, what are they looking for? Evidence. They're looking for evidence, and that's what God will be looking for. Evidence that you truly believe in him, that you truly trust him. So, is good news because we're hearing it. There's nothing to be ashamed of because there are people. I was badly taught for many years. I absorbed many false things from people I respected. But now, nobody will tell me something that I won't check in scriptures. And I don't care who that person is. If it contradicts scripture, I reject what they've said so that I can embrace the truth. So we all need to be checking ourselves because we have absorbed false information from all these bad teachers. Some of them very ignorant, but they won't shut up. They just keep teaching what they do not know and they keep compounding it. They're going to account for it to God. They're not going to come and defend you. They'll be so busy defending themselves. So, what kind of evidence? And there are many we can talk about. But this week, I want us to focus on one. Let's focus on one type of evidence. And that is in the context of our new course, which Tim introduced last week, the blessed. So let's use this issue of blessing to test whether we're in the kingdom of darkness, even if we think we're in the kingdom of light, or we're really in the kingdom of light. It's not to condemn us. It's for us to do the right thing because we can change it in a moment just by changing our attitudes, repenting and saying to God, help me to do it better from here on. But it's important that we should know the truth, don't you think? We don't want to be surprised on the day. We want to know it now because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's the grace of God, that we're hearing it now, so we can do something about it. So, we're going to look at attitudes to this blessing issue. Every human, even serial killers, want to be blessed. They think they will get some pleasure out of killing. That's why they kill, isn't it? Everybody wants what they think is blessing. But the more common things, I went to the extreme there for serial killers and mass murderers. But the common one is money. People chase money by any means possible. And they become enslaved by it. They're never satisfied. There was once somebody who was a Christian leader. I don't know if he still goes to church now. He was once a church leader, not the top leader, but a leader in a church, well respected. And he came to see us. And he took a verse in Proverbs, not a full text, but just a little bit of it, that seemed to justify bribery in order to curry the favor of the rich and famous so that they will be his clients and so he can get more money. So first of all, we told him, you've misquoted scripture. That's not what the Bible is saying, and we proved that to him. And then we say to him, you're already very rich. He was very wealthy. Why do you need more money? And he made a statement, a leader, a Christian leader. He said, money is never enough. He has become enslaved, hasn't he? And that's what people who chase money above all else, they become slaves. And they begin to cut corners. They try to justify themselves by misquoting scripture, naming and claiming something, you know, taking something out of this context in scripture in order to pursue money just like the rest of the world. That person needs to examine themselves, whether they're still in the faith. And we know that the person got into a lot of trouble. We don't know whether he's still in the faith. Now, there was another person, a young person, for young people here. There was a young person who made some serious mistakes in his life. And Tim got to know about it, and he humbled himself. Tim advised him, he fully repented. But to make amends, by the way, Christian people around him were advising him to do the pragmatic thing, which is ungodly. Christian people advising him to solve his problem by committing more sin, because it's the pragmatic thing to do. But Tim said, don't do that. Repent. So he did, thank God. But then to make amends in a godly way, he had to spend a lot of money to make amends, and he didn't have money to spend. So he was worried. So Tim said, if you have trusted in God, you are pursuing God and his kingdom and righteousness, I guarantee that God will provide everything you need. Within weeks, God gave him way more than he needed, because he did it God's way. He pursued the blesser, but not the blessing. And God helped him. I have come to believe that God will fix any problem, no matter how badly the person has sunken. If that person truly humbles themselves and repents and chooses to now do things God's way, there is nothing God cannot fix. That's what God promises. And so, brothers and sisters, the evidence we want to look for to test is, do we chase blessings like the kingdom of this world, even though we profess to be Christians? Or do we chase the blesser? Do we seek the blesser? That is the way to go. If you're not seeking the blesser above all else, he will then lead you in paths where blessings will follow you. You see, Christians who chase blessings like the world, they're running helter-skelter, they're not at peace. You can't solve your own problems. What do you know? You don't even know what's going to happen in the next second. And the one who knows everything from beginning to the end said, I love you. I've provided anything you need for life, everything you need for life and godliness. Just seek me. Seek me first above all else. And seek to act righteously no matter what. And the real true blessings will follow. That is the true sign of somebody who really believes in God. And somebody who worships God. Because do you know what we're saying? Know the first commandment that God wrote by himself. Some people want to set that aside. God never set it aside. I am God, and you shall have no other God but me. If you're resolved to have only God as your God, you will seek him. And if he says in his word and through his Holy Spirit, this is the right way to ask, you ask him for grace so you can act in that manner. And what God promises is that all who do that will have all these blessings that people are chasing after follow them. Let's find out what Jesus himself said about this. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. I do pray that all of us will hear the truths of the word of the Lord and put them into practice. Because Jesus said it is the people who do that are able to stand against all the storms of this life. They stand firm, no matter what is thrown at them. And he said elsewhere that it is those people who stand firm to the end that will receive that final full salvation in the beautiful new earth, where the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the whole earth as waters cover the sea. May God help us.